Gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonder to know you. What an absolute privilege to be called your child, to be adopted into your family, to be a co-heir with Christ, to know ourselves so well and then yet to hear you say, "You're my beloved." We love you, Lord. We adore you. There is nothing else in this entire world that satisfies. You alone are the desire of our heart. We want to serve and please you. We want to walk according to your spirit and not after our flesh. We love you, God. We thank you for this evening. I pray for your anointing over the word as we read it. I pray for your anointing over me as I teach. And I pray for your anointing over everyone in this room as they begin to share the revelation that you've given them. And that we would all be willing to humble ourselves, learn from one another, learn from you, and serve in this beautiful body that you've placed us in. We love you. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, I want to start a little different tonight, I think. I'm going to do things a little different tonight anyway, because we're going to look at day three, and then we're going to go back to days one and two, because I wanted the majority of our discussion time to revolve around days one and two. And so we're going to do day three and then backtrack. But before we do that, can we just, everybody just stand up? If that's okay, if you can stand. If you can't stand, just sit. I could grab my guitar, but we're just going to do it a cappella. I just want to sing. Do you all know Holy Spirit? Okay. I think that most of us do, so I'm going to start singing it. If you know it, sing it along with us. Just invite the Holy Spirit into this place and just have a little time of worship real quick. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come here, come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We just invite you in this place, Holy Spirit. You can be seated. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So if we go to day three, page 63, we look at minds controlled by the flesh rather than the spirit. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Romans 8, 5 through 9. A lot of these scriptures are going to be familiar from your homework, and some of the scriptures that I felt led to read tonight were not in our homework at all. These were starting with verse 5. Thank you, Lord. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. We just look one more time at Romans 8:6. It says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So we have a choice set before us. We can choose death, or we can choose life and peace. I mean, come on. Which one do we want? It's an easy choice, right? I want life and peace. All right, let's look at Galatians 5. This is our text from the week as we are following along in Galatians. We are all the way up to verse 16. Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
I want us to look at the entire passage that we studied this week on all 3 days, and then we may come back to certain verses within this text. But for now, let's just read this passage. We're starting with verse 16. It says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, so our sinful nature and the Spirit, are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Or as we saw in the Message version, it says that the results are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whew. I love Galatians 5:19a. It's written on page 63 of your homework. This is from the Message version of the Bible. It is obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your way all the time. Isn't that the truth? Trying to get what we want instead of looking for what God wants. But when we try to get what we want, what our sinful nature wants, it leads to death. But looking out for what God wants and living a life that pleases Him leads to life and peace. Let's look at the result, or the results or works of the flesh that are obvious. Let's look at the result of what happened to mankind as a whole because they followed after their sinful nature. Let's look at Romans chapter 1. This passage is what Paul is telling the church at Rome in Romans. This is what happens when you tell God, nope, I don't want what you have to offer. I'm going to do things my way. Let's start with verse 16, just because verse 18 starts with a but, and so I feel like we need to read the scriptures right before it so that we know what that but is for. Okay. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. This good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows His anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because He has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see His invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yeah, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship Him as God or even give Him thanks. and they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools, and instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever their shameful things that their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way and instead indulged in sex with each other. Sorry, there's no kids. Okay, good. And the men, instead of having normal relations with women, burned with lust for one another. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty that they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that never should be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand. They break their promises. They are heartless, and they have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. I think that gives us a pretty clear picture of what it looks like when men followed their sinful nature. All throughout history, this is where they've ended up. Death. I love the grace in this next verse. Romans 2:1. Church, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself. For you who judge others do these very same things. We know that God in His justice will punish anyone who does such things. Since you judge others for doing these things, why do you think you can avoid God's judgment when you do the same things? Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? And we know that those of us who are in Christ Jesus, we've turned from our sin, and that God has forgiven us for our sinful ways and our sin that so easily entangled us, that we are just as undeserving as His mercy, and yet when we put our faith in Christ, we are completely made right in Him. And anyone who puts their faith in Christ will be made right with God, just as we have been. So we know that the result of following a sinful nature is going to lead to death. But in Romans 8, we just read that those who have the Spirit of God living in them do not follow their sinful nature, because if the Spirit of God is living in you, you follow the Spirit of God. And we have a choice. Those people that we're reading about that have not made the decision to follow God, they don't have the Spirit of God living in them. All they have the choice to follow is their sinful nature. And until they accept Christ Jesus, they are going to keep going down the same path toward death. But we get to choose this day if we're going to serve the Lord or if we're going to turn from the Lord. And so I just wanted to read this passage to you so that we can see how very dangerous it is to follow after the sinful nature. One thing that we read in Romans 1 is that this resulted because of a depraved mind, that God turned them over to a depraved mind. And we know that before we came to Christ. We were slaves to sin. But now that we have come to Christ, we've received freedom from sin and from the power that sin had over our sinful nature. In Romans 12, Paul says, because of the mercies of God, in view of God's mercies, because he is so merciful, I urge you, brothers, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's a call from Paul to the church to live a life of sacrifice to God, with your life laid down, pulled out from the world, no longer being conformed to the world and following a sinful nature that leads to death, but follow after the Spirit. In this way, you can live a life that pleases God. And he talks about, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So here we keep seeing this principle of the mind. Romans 8 was talking about a life controlled by a mind controlled by the sinful nature leads to death. A mind controlled by the Spirit leads to life. And here we see in Romans 1 that God turned them over to a depraved mind, but we have the mind of Christ. And God wants to transform our lives by changing the way that we think. So we all have heard the catchphrase, battlefield of the mind. And the mind is a battlefield. But God wants to renew our mind. I want the Spirit of God to control my mind no matter the cost. Living a life that glorifies God is worth anything that we have to turn from. Any sin that we have to put down. Anything that satisfies our flesh that we have to turn away from. The goodness of God and getting to experience him is far better than anything that this world can offer us. It's like the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Paul has a prescription to the church in Galatia for not following after their sinful nature. It's in Galatians 5. We just read it. Let me get back over there. It's in the Amplified. I think it's on day one. Yeah. Page 54 in your homework. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit. Seek him and be responsive to his guidance. And then you will certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God. Stop following your sinful nature. And instead, walk habitually in the Spirit. It's a choice that we believers have. Aren't you so thankful that we have a choice? Aren't you so thankful that we're not even left to make that choice on our own, but that God's Spirit gives us the power and the desire to make that choice, to live a life that's pleasing to God? So here's his prescription. Stop following your sinful nature. Instead, follow the Spirit. I think we all know, if we've been around for any amount of time walking with the Lord, that we can't play around with sin. You know the old saying, if you play with fire, you'll get burned. And a little bit is just not okay. And the Holy Spirit is always leading us away from sin and leading us toward the perfect will of God for our lives. I don't know how many of you read the homework this week, but I had there's a saying that I wrote in there that I just want to share with you tonight because it's so ministered to my heart when I heard it, and it has stuck with me over the years to remind me that I cannot play around with sin. And it says this: sin takes us farther than we ever intended to go, and it keeps us there longer than we ever intended to stay. Right? It's so enticing, and the enemy likes to just kind of dangle it in front of us, and we think, oh, well, we can play with it a little bit. But we can't. It's death. It's not life and peace. It's not worth it. So the rest of the week, we got to talk about walking habitually in the Spirit. So if we're going to choose not to follow our sinful nature and rather to make a habit out of following the Holy Spirit's leading in our lives and His control over our lives. The rest of the week, we talked about what are some holy habits that we can put into practice in order to assist us in our daily walk with the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about some of the habits that I listed in the homework for you, but I also want to hear some of the habits that you have put into practice in your life that have assisted you in following the Holy Spirit, that have kept you from following after the flesh and the sinful nature. So I want you to be thinking about maybe some holy habits that you have put into practice that we didn't have listed in the homework. Or maybe if one is just the most important to you and it was in the homework, then you can share that too. So I want y'all to be thinking about that. I'm just going to go over a few more things, and then we're going to get right into all of us sharing about our holy habits. A habit, the definition for habit, we have that in our homework, is an acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. I want to read that one more time. An acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. An antonym of habit include the words occasional and unaccustomed. It takes time to form a new habit, right? It takes time to break an old habit. If we are all in the habit of just following our sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts, it's going to be probably pretty difficult to break that habit and to start following after the Spirit. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ that we have the power through the Holy Spirit to do it and to make the choice to not follow after the sinful nature, but rather to follow after the Spirit. We have to keep that at the forefront of our mind. We are not walking this thing out in our own power. We are walking this thing out through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. It makes me think of what Stephen was talking about on Sunday. I was not in the military, but for somebody with that experience, in order for them to form a habit of obedience in that case, they had them drill constantly so that those soldiers responded immediately to a command in obedience to do whatever that command was. And I think that's such a great picture for us in following after the Holy Spirit and for making it a habit. It's going to be repetition. It's not going to happen overnight. It's something that we're going to do daily and that we're going to mess up. And when we mess it up, we're going to repent and we're going to start all over trying to listen to the Holy Spirit and do it again the next day. But it is a battle. We read in Galatians that the sinful nature and the spirit are two forces. They are forces that are constantly fighting each other so that we're not free to carry out our good intentions. How many of you have ever really, really intended or wanted to follow the Spirit or do the right thing, and then right there at the last minute, boy, your sinful nature wins and you're going, oh, darn it, I said that. The Holy Spirit told me to keep my mouth shut, and I did for 5 minutes. And at that 5 minute and 1 second mark, I opened that mouth, and there it went. And I'm having an out-of-body experience over here going, Casey, shut your mouth. And I'm over here going, but I can't. And I lost that battle with the flesh. I mean, that's a silly example, but it's a reality. It's something that we deal with. And some cases are much more severe than others, but it is a battle. And that it's a battle that we're going to contend with as long as we're on this side of heaven. Oh, I pray and I do believe that our battles change. We're not still enticed by the same sins that we were when we were baby Christians. The enemy's using some different stuff now, but I know that as we surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit, it does become more of a habit to walk after the Spirit as we do it and as we put it into practice and as we have some holy habits and we put those things into practice, it becomes almost involuntary to follow the Spirit and it gets easier. I wrote here, if the flesh responds impulsively without regard for God, then the Spirit intentionally leads with complete regard for the perfect will of God in a way that pleases Him. Okay, so what are some holy habits that you have put into place. Maybe some things that we did not list, but habits that have become so involuntary, we just do them. And these are the things that when tragedy strikes and when the storm comes, these are the things that have become a habit in our life and we just continue to do them because they're not theories. Like, it sounds good to spend time thanking God or to spend time in prayer, but when the storm comes, what am I going to fall back on? I'm going to fall back on those holy habits that I've created on a day in and day out basis. And so that's kind of where this lesson went for me as I was writing it, was what are some of the holy habits either that I've already got in place or that I think would be very beneficial for us to have in place so that we're standing firm and so that we are able to be led by the Holy Spirit and being aware of His leading. So I just want to open it up. I know I took the first 30 minutes to talk and I kind of already knew I was going to do that. And I just want to spend the rest of our 30 minutes with all of us talking and us going through some of the holy habits, some of the ones that are harder, some of the ones that we have down. So open it up to you guys. So I think she hit on a very important holy habit that I did not list in our homework. I only listed 6. And I even said, this is not an exhaustive list. These are just some of the things that I think are basic that we can be doing. But I think she hit one here. So if you all want to write down a holy habit, is thankfulness. Intentionally being thankful before the Lord. That is a holy habit that is going to assist us. Thankfulness breeds contentment like little else. When we begin recalling the things we are thankful for, all of a sudden we supernaturally, we become content. And I think contentment is a huge benefit for a believer who's going to be following the Spirit instead of his sinful nature, because his sinful nature is always looking out for me and what else do I need and me, 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 me. And if we're content, we're not doing that. Amen. And I think that brings about another holy habit that we can put into practice, and that's forgiveness. Amen. And I think thankfulness can assist us in forgiveness. If we'll start recalling things we're thankful for, it can help us to forgive. Does anybody have a testimony about putting forgiveness into practice? Connie, why don't you share for a minute about putting forgiveness in practice as a holy habit? The Holy Spirit always leads us in a way that's consistent with God's character. So the Holy Spirit is always wanting us to extend mercy because God is always extending mercy. And the Holy Spirit that lives in you is the one that was beckoning you. Extend her mercy. Extend her mercy because He wanted to extend her mercy through you. And so that's just such a beautiful picture of the way the Holy Spirit leads and how we just get to see the fruit of the Spirit. Because forgiveness, in essence, is showing someone else mercy. I mean, they've done something to you that's legit and that you have a right to hold them liable for some sort of payment that they owe you. And when you forgive them, you are releasing them from that debt and you are showing them mercy. And so love that, making forgiveness a holy habit. Is there anything else that anyone just... holy habit maybe that we didn't list in our homework, and then we'll just go over the ones in the homework. Pastor Steve, is there a holy habit that you want to share with everyone? That's true. That's true. And I just love the image that you gave us of how strong the cords are and that the same power that raised Christ from the dead is living in us. And how great is that power to release the captive from sin? Woo! That's good. Thank you, Lord. Thankful for the blood of Jesus and the resurrection power. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. Getting in tune with the kingdom building instead of me building. Building His kingdom instead of my kingdom. Yeah. Another holy habit that I wrote down that I didn't have listed was remembering, which I think is something that we've kind of touched on with thankfulness, but intentionally remembering the things, making remembering a habit, remembering where God has brought us from, remembering the things that He's already done. Okay, let's look. We'll start on page 58. We'll go through the holy habits that we have listed in our homework. And if anybody has a comment or anything, just raise your hand and I'll call on you. Otherwise, we're just going to go through them. I'd love to hear from you, so don't let me just pass you up. Make sure that you get to talk because I want to hear from y'all. I know what I think. I want to hear what y'all think. Okay. Number one, make a habit of committing to live your life for God alone. And I think Pastor Stephen really did a beautiful job of touching on this Sunday during his sermon when he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And that's really a image, putting him first. He's first. He's before everything else. And I think that's a good point of what I was saying. I'll make a habit of committing to live your life for God alone. And we read the scriptures in Joshua where Joshua is telling the Israelites, you can go serve whatever God you want, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. So choose this day whom you're going to serve. And so I do begin every day with saying, Lord, I choose to serve you today. I choose to make you first in my life and to commit to living my life for him each day. And then another scripture that I was reminded of as I was doing the homework on this one was Matthew 6, 24 through 25. And Jesus is also talking about money here, but I think it's such a good principle, and it's you cannot serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. And I think that's another good, like, who am I going to serve? Serve God, or am I going to serve money or myself? There's a neat quote here. So for those of you that didn't do the homework, I want to read it. For those of you that did the homework, I apologize, or you may just need to hear it again. There's an excerpt on page 59 from Everyday Supernatural by Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft. And what we're talking about is making the commitment to living for God alone, making that a holy habit. And what we're basically doing is giving complete surrender of our life over to God's control, saying, you're the one in charge, Lord. And so what he says about surrender is so beautiful. He says, for various reasons, we can be afraid to truly trust and open ourselves up to God. We have to trust God to allow him to fill us with his spirit, because to receive the spirit, we must relinquish control. We have to surrender. Often, I love this, often when we think of receiving more of the spirit, we think we are getting more of some sort of power or force that we can use then for our own purposes. But that is not what is happening at all. It's not that we are getting more of the Spirit so that we can use him for our will, but he is getting more of us so he can use us for his will.
I got 3 stars.
Okay, good. Good job, Mike Pilavachi. Did you have something? No, okay. Okay. Number two, make a habit of spending time with God alone. I think it's great to have corporate prayer and corporate times where we get together with God, but making a habit of spending time with God alone. And when we're in that time with God alone, we're praying, we're not just talking to God, but we're also listening to God, listening to the Holy Spirit. And I just kind of made the point that any person that you are in a relationship with or anything that you're in a relationship with, you get to know them by spending time with them and talking to them. And so our relationship with God isn't going to be any different. We're going to get to know him by spending time with him, talking to him, listening to him speak. And I just asked the question, how can the Spirit lead us if we do not recognize his voice when he speaks to us? And we're going to learn to hear the voice of the shepherd when we're spending time with God and learning to decipher his voice. So making that a habit. Okay, number three, make a habit of studying the Word, or I mean the Bible, the canon of Scripture. It is a treasure greater value than any other thing we can possess in this world. And it's one of the primary ways that God speaks to many of his children. I said many of his children because there's many children of God that don't have the Bible. And so, Lord, please get them one or teach them how to read so that they can read one. Okay, number four, make a habit of doing what God says or saying yes, as Pastor Stephen said. So this one was about obedience, that we need to make a habit of being obedient to God. It's not just going to be enough to hear from God or to study his word, but we're going to also have to obey the voice of God when we do hear him and when we do read his word. That's good. Okay, number five, a holy habit that is so important to our effectiveness in the kingdom and our effectiveness in the faith is making a habit of gathering together with other believers. I feel like I talk about Nipah every time I'm here, but she was instant messaging me today, and it's right on line with what Mom is saying. She says, she asked me how my family is sometimes, and today I told her that Carrie needs prayer, because she was going to have surgery next week, and we just found out she's not able to, and she's having to go to another doctor. And so I was telling Nipah that, and Nipah just started praying for Carrie, that God would give her knowledge and wisdom to know what to do, and that God would help her to make the right decision, and that he would heal her. And so I just told her, thank you, how is your family? And she says, my sister, my family is good by your prayer and your love. I believe and I thank you, and your family means so much to me because you are my family. And Bob Baldwin is also my family. We are all the family of God. She's talking about her, Nipah. I, Swapan, Wesley, Sayon, Tika, those are her two children, in Bangladesh, and you are in the USA. She's saying, we're all the family of God. How is your family? How is my family? We're all family together. And anyway, that just blessed me. So I just wanted to share that with y'all. Okay, number six, making a habit of living for the glory of God and repenting often. And when I was writing this, I didn't really say it in there, but the scriptures alluded to it. But it was living for God's glory instead of our own, like staying away from pride, like keeping ourselves humble and repenting often, like staying in that place of living for his glory only, is where that was going, making a habit out of repentance and humility. So I think that we've pretty much covered all of this, but just to reiterate, it's not a list of to-dos that we're checking off boxes, but it's holy habits that we intentionally put into practice, which assist us in living a life that pleases God, a life led by the Spirit of God. We are the family of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. We are the sons and daughters of the Most High. And we want to live like it by His Spirit and as He enables us. Does anybody else have a testimony before we go on about how fellowship with other believers has encouraged you in your walk with Jesus? And we care enough about your walk with Christ to risk making you mad at us. Yeah. Because that's what a good father does. That's what a good parent does. And we're family. Oh, here we go. All right, well, does anybody else have another testimony about how has fellowship with other believers encouraged your walk with Jesus? I love how when I come together with the family of God, that we all have our own gifts and we all use them. Like, I can be going through the worst time of my life and then somebody come up to me with the gift of faith and it's just like, I'm believing God for your situation even though I gave up on it a week ago. And I get to see their faith and their tenacity, and it encourages me to keep the faith and get some resolve. I see their love and their passion for God, and I want that. They're praying for me and my family, and it encourages me through the worst of times, through the best of times. Being in corporate worship encourages me. It's incredible the way God's Spirit moves amongst His people in corporate worship. It's like it's unlike anything else that I ever experience. I love the family of God. They have gotten me through. Had I not been plugged into this body when my dad passed, it would have been diametric and would have been completely different. This body held me up when I could not hold up my own head. Y'all held me. And I know that the body of Christ has done that for probably a lot of us. And I love the body of Christ. All right, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving us the church. Thank you for knowing that we needed, that the lonely needed to be placed in families. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us alone. God, I pray that you'll change our hearts. I pray, Lord, that we will want and desire to be about building your kingdom more than we want to build our own kingdom, that we would want to know you and be one with you. We love you, Lord. We give you all the glory. Please, Spirit, lead us by your power. In Jesus' name, amen. This is what we get to do. This is what we get to do. Amen. What a privilege.